There's 64.
Rāgat-dveṣa-viyuktaistu
Viṣayānindriyaiścaram
Ātma-vaśyair-vidheyātmā
Prasādam-adhi-gacchati
Raga Dvesha Vyuktaihi Tu Vishayan Indriyaihi Charan Atma Vashaira Videyatma Prasadam Padigachati. So in these previous two verses, you know, that kind of take you to your destruction. Then Shankara introduces this next verse. He says, Sarvan sarva anarthasya mulam uktam vishya abhidyanam. He says, vishya abhidyanam. You're meditating on these vishyas. On these sense objects. Meditating means that's where my mind is. I'm chasing after my raga dveshas, I'm chasing after my ananda, following my sense object, following my raga dvesha. My mind is, you know, circling around the sense objects. And Swamiji also says, you know, in reference to this verse, or these verses, your mind goes where you believe the ananda to be. It goes toward what you love, and that's where it stays. And so long as the raga dveshas are there, remember raga dvesha, we mean binding desires. I need this to be happy. That's where my mind is going to be circling. And you try to bring it back. It's very hard to do because it says no. I want my ananda. So that's the driving force. That's the pravritti. That's what impels the mind. The direction that the mind goes in has to do with its search for ananda. Even in the negative, if we look at it, the negative, what it pulls away from, it's pulling away from something which is taking my ananda away. So that's kind of the driving force for the mind, and it's all based in ajnanam. It's all based in self-ignorance because I've projected my ananda onto the world, and therefore the raga dvesha, my likes and dislikes, become real. So what he says is, this, you know, meditating, dhyanam, circling, continually circling these vishyas, the sense objects, that as has been told, he says, that is the mula. Mula means the root, like the cause, the root cause for all of the anarthas. Anarthas means all of the catastrophes. Artha means, in terms of purushartha, those things that we seek as a human being. There's four purushartas we seek to be. We seek to be secure, to feel stable and secure, like just within vyavahara, empirical reality. We want to have enough money. You know, we want to have a nice home. You know, we want to have a bank account. All of these things, just whatever it is that in my mind I feel I need to feel safe and secure. That's artha. Then I need, after I have the artha, okay, then I need kama. I need to be doing things I want to be doing, things that I love. Those ragas, you know, those things that will make me happy, whatever that is for me, then I need to do that. But the first thing is I need that security. And so every being has this artha kama, every human being. People who are, and as kind of a driving force of fulfilling my needs. Purushartha means like the arthas, the goals that every human being has. And so I want my security, I want my enjoyment, I want to be doing those things which make me feel happy and whole and complete. Then the third one is dharma. I need to follow dharma, and then from a kind of Hindu point of view, I need to follow dharma, because on a personal level, within this samsara that I find myself in, when I'm not feeling following dharma, I feel guilt and discomfort, and I don't have any shanti. But on another level, which is very important for, say, a Hindu who believes in reincarnation, you know, the following of dharma secures my getting a better next birth and also enjoying other lokas in between time, more positive lokas in between time, and avoiding a negative next birth or one that has more serious papa in it, and also going to darker lokas just to exhaust the karma polas. So that dharma also is something that, as a Hindu, I'm very concerned about, because this is only one birth of beginningless births and going way into the future until I gain knowledge, actually. And so that's a desire. That's why dharma also has a real grip, can have a real grip on you, because it's good for you. It's very good for you. And in fact, even in a relative way, we go on discovering that when I am within dharma and following dharma, I feel a shanti. I feel a sense of well-being. My mind is at peace with that, because that's actually a natural expression of my being. But when I'm going against that, I feel ashanti. I feel the negative. I feel, you know, a lot of discomfort. And so the whole creation is always pushing us toward dharma, pushing us towards shanti, because the mind that has shanti, that peaceful mind, in that peaceful mind, my mind, myself is very much manifest. It's like in a clear mirror. If I hold the clear mirror up to the sun, it says the sun is vibrating or is totally manifest as though in that clear mirror. But if the mirror is dusty, you know, or has mud on it, I hold up that mirror, and if it's too dusty, I can barely even see the sun. That's a very depressed state. That's a state where I feel just so isolated and separated from myself. For the Ajnani, because there's no viveka. For when that depressed, messy mirror is there, there's no, as in terms of my mind, there's no viveka to recognize my own being that is illumining that. Jnani, it's different, because I am never away from myself. But a mind that has knowledge and is mature has neutralized these raga dveshas, and so the mind is not a depressed mind. It's not a dusty mirror or a muddy mirror. It's very clear. And so the self, just like the sun shining in a clear mirror, the self is so manifest in my mind. And so the experience of my mind is one of a very deep ananda. And that's the state of mind of a jnani, for whom all of these, what we call pratibandhakas are gone, all of these obstructions, right? All of this, these complexes we have inside and these hurts that we've accrued growing up, and also our the basic self-ignorance where I'm projecting my ananda onto the world. You know, when these things, when I've taken myself back, you know, and I've done all of the work to bring my projections back, you know, in terms of the things that I need just in life and the things that I want in life, those things are so often projections. I don't really need them at all. But for me, I need them, you know. I need them in this way, not in another way. Very particular, very, very particular. So all of this work I have to do just to get back to my own, the depth of my own shanti, without all of these raga dveshas and subtle raga dveshas and more subtle raga dveshas. I want this, but no, I really want this. But no, but what I really want is this. We have to work our way back, you know, to clear out all of the dust, you know, so that my mind enjoys fully the ananda of my being. That's antikarna shuddhi. That's what we call the prasada buddhi. And so now in these verses, Bhagavan is talking about the stitta prajna, the one who has that clarity, that wisdom, and then how to get it, you know. What are the steps that we need to take, you know, to gain that type of antakarana shuddhi, you know, so that I am a stitta pranyaha, so that the ananda that is my nature is fully mirrored in my mind. Now that's a little subtle thing there that I just said, that the ananda that I am, which is ever present and very well known, it's not like it's present, but you know, this is what some people think is that I know, like they used to say to Swamiji, but I'm sure myself also, Swamiji, I know, I really know, but Swamiji, you know, when will I experience myself? And this is how I like to tell this story. this example that we use in Vedanta, how it can be construed to have that sense, to have that meaning. The example that we use is that when it's a rainy day, you know, here I'm standing on the earth, it's a rainy day, the clouds are very, very dark, you know. And I will say, if somebody were to ask me, the sun is there, but it's hidden behind the clouds. You know, it's hidden there behind the clouds and the rain, so I can't really see it. Right? I can't experience it. But I do know that because the sun is there, I'm able to see the clouds. I can appreciate the clouds. But there's a mistake, you know, in that example. It can be, unless we talk about it. And that is, who are you in that example? Are you the one standing on the earth looking up at the rain? You know? Or are you the sun who's illuminating the clouds? Which side of the clouds are you on? And so the thing is, who I am, the Atma, the self, is the sun. I am the one who's illumining the clear day, and I'm the one who's illumining the rainy, cloudy day. So for me, now the other thing, so understanding that, from using this example, does the sun require a clear day in order to have to be its own bright sun experience? They would say, no, not at all, because the sun is its own brilliance, and because of who it is, the rain clouds are illumined, and equally, the clear day is illumined. Right? So the sun is free. The sun is absolutely free. It just illumines what happens to be in front of it. But then, if you're on the other side of the clouds, so let's look at it like this. Say you're Ahankara, your eye notion is on the other side of the clouds, right? And that means your ahankara, that eye notion born of ignorance, is totally identified with the mind. Okay, it's totally identified with the mind, and the mind is having a cloudy day. Like our Swamiji always talks about the weather, how's the weather? It means, you know, what's going on in terms of the emotional affects in your mind. Is it, how's the weather, you know? I love that. I got that from Swamiji, and I use it in my classes all the time. I always say Swamiji says this. How's the weather? It's one of my favorite things. How's the weather? How's the weather today? Yeah. But now think about it. Your mind, the mind is having a cloudy day. Okay, it's having a cloudy, rainy day. And you are identified with that mind. And that mind itself is overwhelmed by clouds. And so the mind is enjoying experiencing a very cloudy day, and I am the mind, right? I'm identified with my mind. The ahankara, the me, is now overwhelmed by this cloudy day. And so in order for me, the mind, to have a self-experience, I need to remove those clouds, right? Because otherwise, I'm just, you know, illumined. I'm just a big pile of clouds. That's my experience. But now the question is it the mind that is illumining you, the sun, or is the sun illumining the mind? We say the sun is illumining the mind. So we say the same thing here. What is illumining who is the conscious being that illumines the mind? The cloudy mind or the clear mind? Who illumines it? We say, I do. Well, who is the I? Me, Yatma. I do. Then you have to ask, am I present to the cloudy mind? Or is because there is a cloudy mind, I have no access to myself? You know? It's a really important question, because this is where the spiritual samsara can come in. Because my belief is that I need to clear the mind of the cloud so that I have a sunny, bright, sunny day, so that that mind actually resonates like a clean mirror with me, and then I have the self-experience. And I would say, no, that isn't really true at all. I, my presence, just like thinking of going back to the cloud, the cloudy day with the sun isn't losing its sun experience, its self-experience at all, as it illumines the clouds, right? But from the standpoint of the clouds and the people on the other side of the clouds, they're experiencing the experience of the mind. The experience of the clouds is what is there for the ahankara, the one on the other side. But the ahankara is a product of ignorance. The ahankara is the one who misidentifies my being with the mind and body and sense organs and any upadis that are there. And so say now I gain self-knowledge. Now what happens? I recognize, because of viveka, viveka jnanam, it's like I recognize myself, the sun, that is always present in exactly the same way I am my own luminary. Like the sun, so the sun is such a powerful example in the Vedanta. I am my own luminary. I don't need any other pramana, any other means of knowledge to come and light me up. I am consciousness itself, conscious being itself. And because of me, everything else is known. But myself is self-evident. So there is no covering of my being at all, even in a cloudy day. Who I am is not covered. But the thing is, the mind is not happy in a cloudy day. Right? So I'm okay with that, because the mind that is unhappy or in the cloudy day is not affecting my own being, because there's that viveka there. So being whole and complete myself, that wholeness and completeness is illumining this cloudy day. But that cloudy day is really a product of ajnanam, because from the standpoint of self-knowledge, there's no reason to have a cloudy day. The reason I have a cloudy day is only because of raga dvesha, because I want this on both physical and gross level, but on physical levels, but also on very subtle levels and internal and unconscious levels. I basically want this to be different. I want it to be in this way, and it's in this way. Yeah. And I only want this way, because my ananda is projected on it being this way. And so then I have work to do. That's why when we did in the meditation this morning, like one of the things that you can do is you kind of sit with your raga dveshas and see, you know, why are they, based upon with your knowledge, why are they as firm as they are? What is it that you really want? And you work your way back. Is this what you really want? Is this the thing that is actually going to be the object of my ananda that's going to fix everything up? And as you let yourself really sit with that, kind of the fallacious reasoning starts to surface. And you go back and back and back and back until you probably get to a little child inside, you know, who needs this, who needs that. And then you get to the source of it and you hold that little child and you start releasing all of these knots. Okay. And so that the mind becomes not a cloudy day, but a clear day. And why is the clear day, even for a jnani, nice? Why is it so nice to have a clear day? Because the clear day is totally in harmony and almost invisible in terms of its separation from myself. You know, what if I'm looking through a clear, shiny mirror? I'm a clear, shiny piece of glass. Then that glass, because it's clear and shiny, is as though it's there, but it's as though invisible. It's as though there's no what we call pratibandhika between me and my nature and this shiny glass. Because the glass doesn't have any dust on it. Doesn't have any ajnanam, any self-ignorance kind of staining it. And so that clear, shiny glass of the mind in which my being is totally manifest from its own standpoint, that's what we call prasada buddhi. That's which is what we're moving into now, this word prasada. Prasada, when I have the prasada buddhi, but prasada means that grace, you know, or that deep, beautiful shanti. So prasada means when we have prasada buddhi. If you think about what's happening there, that prasada buddhi, that's when I receive all of the things that come to me, all of the results of my actions that come to me, I receive it with that prasada buddhi. What I'm saying there is I receive it as that gift of prasada from the Lord. The karmapala I take as a gift of prasad from Bhagawan, and there I have it. But what does that mean in terms of my buddhi? Why do we say prasada buddhi? Because when we receive that gift from Bhagawan, you're given prasad, my mind is resolved. You know, it's not thinking, I don't want that prasad, I want that prasad. Please, please, the laddus are running out. Let me get in this other line so I can get a laddu instead of some water. I really doubt that anybody's thinking about that. There's something much more beautiful happening, you know. And so that prasada buddhi gives me that mind that has that prasada, that grace, that clarity, that invisibility. It's there, it's called ati sukshma. It's there, the mind is there, but it's so subtle. Doesn't have any dust on it, you know. And so my own presence is not competing with anything. And so the mind itself feels totally happy. Thing is, for jnani, the ahankar is not with that mind either. The ahankar, that I didn't, is not with that mind. And it's not with the cloudy day mind either. It's not with either mind. The ahankara resolves into the aham of myself. Ahankara means it's created. It's a created I, an I that's landing on the upadis. But the aham, when you gain self-knowledge, who you are lands upon yourself. So being yourself, you are illumining your mind, right? And with whatever that mind is, it's Ishwara, you take it with that prasada buddhi itself, whatever that mind is, you know, because everything is taken as the prasada buddhi. But on another level, as I know myself, as the mind gains and grows into that shanti, which is really just natural expression of your knowledge, then the mind that I enjoy is as though invisible. So there's something beautiful in the Bhasha here that he says. So he says, having told about this calamitous results of going after your raga dvesha, he says, therefore now, idanim moksha karanam idam uchate. Now he gives really the karana, the cause for moksha. Moksha, if you remember, liberation. There's the Shravana Manana Nididhyasana, which is this teaching, your mind experiencing and seeing, the ajnanam being removed. But there's also the Upayanishta, the gaining of that prasada buddhi, that buddhi which itself, just because of your knowledge, has made all of these raga dveshas, these binding desires into non-binding desires, which means I'm not dependent on the world being in a particular way, because I am a mukshu, basically, because I am a mukshu, and what I need and what I've recognized, what I'm searching for, what is really my raga, my great raga is self-knowledge. And so these things also take a very secondary position, you know, and I hold them in a different way, because as I gain this upaya nishtha, the shravana manana nididhyasana, I am also gaining upaya nishtha. That's why the Bhagavad Gita is a shastra for both upaya nishtha, gaining brahmajnanam, and upaya nishtha, gaining antakarana shuddhi, that purity of mind. So you'll see it going throughout the Gita, it's going back and forth and back and forth to help you take care of your mind as you're gaining knowledge. And of course, knowledge helps tremendously. Without knowledge, the upaya nishtha can't really even take place. The antakarana shuddhi and neutralizing raga dveshas can't even take place, because your ananda is still projected outward. As the ananda, source of ananda, comes, your mind naturally matures, but that these are the attitudes to help it along. These are the understandings to help the mind along. So, what he says here in the verse, raga dvesha viyuktaihi vishayan indriyaihi charan atma vashaihi. Here's a bunch of instrumental plurals. So he says, by sense organs, which are raga dvesha viyukta, sense viyuktaihi, by the sense organs which themselves are free of raga dvesha, free of likes and dislikes. Free of likes and dislikes means they become non-binding desires. That's free. It's not like you don't have desires. As long as you're alive, you'll have desires. But it's non-binding desires. It's desires now that are preferences, where my ananda, my being, is not at stake. So for those by those indriyas which themselves are free of raga dvesha viyuktaihi, by those indriyas, the vishyas, those sense objects, right? The vishyan charan. So let me finish. Atma vishaihi, these instrumentals. So by those indriyas which are free of raga dvesha, atma vishaihi, which means they're under my control. They're under the control of the mind. Remember, actually, when we're talking about the indriyas, so Anjali will say, poor indriyas. They're not doing anything. They are reporting to you. But as they report into you, I'm seeing this, I'm experiencing that, and there's no way you're always going to be experiencing, right? As long as you're alive, as long as you have sense organs, the indriyas will continually be reporting to you. But once the raga dveshas are neutralized, they are, what they report is under your control. You can say yes or no. This is good for me, I would like to do this, or no, I don't want to do this. You have the freedom of choice. Rather than having the indriyas trigger this fanciful mind, you know, this fanciful mind that gives me real raga dveshas. Like, yes, if I could have that, that would really make me happy. I would love to have that. Yeah, if I could have that, then this would happen and that. And then I'm off. The raga dveshas have me. I don't have them. It's nothing wrong. You're walking around. You're experiencing all of these things. Some things are appealing to you and some things are not. And most things are just neutral. And most things are just Ishwara, actually. You may not know that. But you're not asking them to be different. They just are what they are. That's the great majority of things. They just are what they are. It's fine. It's no problem. In that area, it's kind of a jnani mind. It's fine. No problem. It doesn't cause any rupture in me. But then the raga dveshas, as real raga dveshas, they do. They steal me away. They steal me away. So if those raga dveshas are viyukta, if they've been neutralized, then atma vashaihi, they are in my control. The control in my, not the atma. Atma here means mind. In the control of my buddhi. You know? And I become what is a videyatma. An atma, videyatma means a mind that is, again, is under my control, is really follows dharma, because dharma is a natural expression of myself, you know, and it's true to my being, and there's nothing disrupting it. There's nothing disrupting that dharma. Once the raga dvesha become neutralized, the natural expression of myself, which is dharma, is what I what I follow. That's Vidyatma. That Vidya, you know, my Vidya, what is enjoined upon me is Dharma. And it's not though as it's enjoined upon me, as though somebody's giving me a set of rules, which is true when I have just raga dvesha as something that is real. But when all of that becomes mithya, then this Vidyatma, this one who is maybe naturally controlled by Dharma, right? Because that is what is the natural response. Your natural response is Dharma. So you should notice that, you know. But causes you to respond in a dharmic way, in a hurtful way, or in an angry way, is ajnanam, you know. It's because you've projected your ananda outward, you need something to be different so that you can be happy, and it's not all right not to be happy. And so lots of emotions are generated. So then he says that Vidyatma, the one who has neutralized this raga dvesha, then that person, charan means experiencing the world through these sense organs that are viyukta, free of raga dvesha. He says that person gains this prasada buddhi. You gain that prasada buddhi. It comes to you naturally. That's the thing. See, we think that maybe I really have to work for that to attain it. That's not really true. If there's any work, it has to do with letting things go. The things that are based in ignorance go. Or working through the complexes, like the little children inside, you can't really give them self-knowledge. But the one who's being with them has self-knowledge. The buddhi, for a jnani or for somebody who's doing this inner work, has some clarity and can guide, you know, all of this type of thinking that's causing me a lot of problems and all of my raga dveshas, can guide that thread all the way back to the little one, really, who just needs to be wanted, basically needs to be wanted, needs to be loved, you know, to feel all is well with me. That things are as they should be. When things are as they should be, I feel free and happy and secure. Because that is actually my nature. And what is free, happy, and secure is what is filling my mind. My being is filling my mind. And so everything is fine. But when my being is not filling my mind, for an ajnani or for a little child, I feel the opposite of that. I feel fear. I feel insecure. I feel unloved. I feel unwanted. I feel afraid, you know. I feel afraid and I feel hurt and I feel worried. There's just a whole little bundle of things that are there, and then it's too much for my conscious mind, and so I swallow that all into the unconscious, and now I have to go and get it. I have to go back and rescue that part of myself, right, to free it. So the one who has freed themselves of raga dvesha on unconscious levels, and also, you know, but here, making them mithya, making them non-binding desires, realizing that I can be happy in many ways. On one level, I can be happy in many, many ways, not just this way, but also that really the source of happiness is my own being. So it's very beautiful. All of this resolves into the ananda of yourself. The mind becomes more and more clear in its understanding. And the results of that understanding, that upayanishta, it becomes more and more like a clear glass, so that my being and my mind are not, that are resonate completely with each other. It's a beautiful thing. So that being the case, let's do the next verse.
Prasade sarva dukkhanam. Anirasyo pajayate prasanna cetaso yashu buddhiparyavatishtate
prasade sarva dukkhanam hanihi asya upajayate prasanna cetasah hi ashu buddhihi Pariyavatishtati. So Shankara introduces this verse saying, prasade sati kimshat. Says, okay, when this prasada buddhi is there, right, then what? It's exactly what he says. What then? What then? What happens if this prasada buddhi is there? So he says, prasade, absolute locative, asti, sati, prasade, sati. When that prasada buddhi is there, prasada means here, prasada means that deep shanti is there, right? When that shanti is there, then sarva dukha nam hanihi. Asya, for him, for that person, for that muni, for that wise person, that vipaschit, the one who has the viveka, the one who is really gaining this knowledge and whose mind is maturing. So when that shanti is there, then sarva dukhanam hanihi asya upajayate. Then the destruction, the hani, the destruction of all of the dukkhas take place. All the destruction, sarva dukhanam hanihi, the destruction of all of the suffering, all of the different types of suffering, all of that suffering for that person, he says, upajayate, takes place. It rises up, upajayate. So then the question, and then he says, okay, let me finish. He says, prasanna chetasaha hi asu, for the one whose mind has that prasanna, has that peace, that shanti, ashu, quickly, buddhihi, that knowledge, the knowledge itself, avatishtate means to remain, to stay. Pariya means remains very firmly. It's got no place to go. It just remains, it is. So let's see that. First of all, there are many, many kinds of dukkhas. So it says for all of the dukkhas, we said adhyatmika, adibhautika, you know, adidaivika, all of the sorrows, all of the things that cause sorrow coming from my own body or from my own environment, the people close to me, you know, the people in my immediate environment, or, you know, from daivam, like earthquakes, etc., that type of thing. All there's so many, I mean, countless number of sources of dukkha. But the suffering is only one. Sorrow is only one. This experience hurt me. This experience hurt me, caused me sorrow. This experience caused me sorrow. You can say it an infinite number of times. The sorrow is one. You say, oh, there's different degrees of sorrow. Yeah, there's different degrees of sorrow. But the sorrow, with its different degrees, big, 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 big sorrows, little sorrows, sorrow is one. So even though you say sarva dukkhas, all of the things that were able to cause you dukkha do no longer, those things go away. There's a destruction, hani, a disappearance, a resolution of all of those sorrows, of all of the sorrows that I experience. Not the causes of sorrow. That would be interesting. One of us gains knowledge, okay? And all of the causes of sorrow disappear. Only one person has got to do it. And all of the dukkhas, all of the things that cause dukkha will disappear. It's not true. But, sorry. Okay, but the dukkha in my mind goes away. Because I'm not receiving those experiences in a way that will cause me sorrow. So even though the things that are potential causes of sorrow are not a cause of sorrow for me, really because of that prasada buddhi, it's the prasada buddhi, that Ishvara Arpana buddhi, where I take everything as prasad from Bhagavan, that's as a mumukshu, as I'm gaining this knowledge, that is what sustains me in terms of giving me that prasada buddhi, the buddhi that has all that, so much shanti, you know. Because whether I wanted it or not, how I'm receiving it is not about my fulfillment of a desire. It's about how I receive it, and I receive it with that prasada buddhi. And as the raga dveshas themselves drop off, because of my knowledge in terms of I have discovered, as I discover the source of that ananda, the projections don't have the punch that the superimposition of raga dvesha onto the world becomes much, much less. That's why they have this beautiful example that we went through. You know, when there's a flood, you know, I'm not going to trek out into the middle of the flood to locate the well where the water is, you know. That is already taken care of. So as I recognize my source of as the ananda, and as my mind starts to relax, there's more and more, the more and more the ananda of my own being is what is reflecting in that mind, because that mind is gaining that prasada. Prasada means that grace. Like when you receive everything, it's that prasada buddhi. That prasada buddhi is a buddhi that has shanti in it. And as the buddhi relaxes and has that shanti, my own being becomes much more dominant. You know, it becomes dominant in that mind. So say in the mind, there's, you know, a thunderstorm, a dark clouds and a thunderstorm. You know, then the sun is illumining that, but it's not dominant. But when the thunderstorm passes, in the mind, and the sky is clear, the sun becomes dominant, right? So just think in your mind, the ananda, the very being of who you actually are, when the mind has that prasada, that shanti, it is your being that is shining there in the mind, as the very self of the mind, the me of the mind, but with all of its glory, means all of its ananda is being reflected there in the mind, and my mind is so happy because now I'm myself. The mind is full of me. And the me is the ananda, the satchit ananda. It's the very me of Ishwara, the me that from whom this whole creation has come. So that very sacred me fills the mind. And so he says, for the one who has gained this prasada buddhi, really from the teachings, but also from that neutralization of raga dvesha, he says, that person quickly, that wisdom, the self-knowledge, the wisdom, for the person who has gained that prasannatvam, the mind has gained that clarity, that cleanliness, you know, that knowledge, pariyavatishtate, that takes place very quickly. It roots itself very, very quickly. Shankara, what he says here is so nice. He says, for one for whom, who has this, when the prasada, he says, so first he takes the first line and he says, when that prasada buddhi is there, then all of these dukkhas, all of them are destroyed, right? They just vanish as the mind has that prasada buddhi. Prasada buddhi means that prasada buddhi attitude and the shanti and all that comes from it. And then he says, for such a mind, for the person who has that, so here he says, so he goes then, for the second line he says, kincha, further, he says, prasanna chetasaha means shuddha antakaranasya. It's for the one who has that pure mind, you know. He says, then he says, yes, mat, because for the one who has that pure mind, ashu means quickly, that buddhihi, pariyavatishtate, becomes very steady. He says, akasham eva, like space. Akasham eva, he said, like space, how space pervades everywhere, samantat. He says, when you say that pariyavatishtate, there's that pari there. Pari means samantat, means everywhere. How space pervades everywhere, he says, and the space pervading everywhere just abides. Everything's moving through it, right? All of the other elements are crazy. They're moving through it and doing this and doing that. But space is just there. It just abides there. It's not moving at all. So he says, so like... So in that way, atma surupena eva nischali bhavati. Your self, he says, the the Atma Swarupa, your mind abides firmly. Avatishtate means remains, and pari avatishtate remains firmly like space. Your mind remains firmly as the Atma Swarupa. Means that the mind, even though it's there, it's not that it's not there, but it is filled with you. And there's nothing to make it change. It's always filled with you. Your mind is all just like, you know, the pot is always filled with the clay. It's not like it's... But then that mind can be taking on all kinds of emotions and all kinds of things that are actually competing with my nature. But what about when I have that prasada chetasaha, when my mind is so clear and clean? Then what is the experience of that mind? Just me. And all of these vrittis, all these things are happening. You're having all of these different thoughts, all of these perceptions as the sense organs are just naturally doing their thing, moving around. You know, so you're having all kinds, it's like a kaleidoscope. All kinds of things are taking place. You're experiencing all kinds of things. But you're experiencing them in a mind that remains still like space, filled with myself, you know, like space. So everything, all the emotions and all of the feelings and all of the perceptions are all taking place in me, and I'm not going anywhere. That's that prasada buddhi. So I say that prasada buddhi is so close to the experience of the jnani, because that mind that is so clean and clear, and the raga dveshas have been neutralized, it has nowhere to go, you know. It has no other experience. And so even though there can still, until there isn't, there's still kartritvam. Once that kartritvam, that doership resolves, I'm still left with that prasada buddhi. With the kartritvam and the taking everything as Ishvara, or without the kartritvam, the doership that is caused by the ajnana, when that resolves, you know, then it's exactly the same, except instead of being with me, I am me. I am me. And then this mind is filled with me. And I'm never not me. Whatever the mind does, whatever the world does, all of it is taking place in me. That little shift has taken place. Om Tat Sat.
Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om.